AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider, the podcast. We created a new segment for Paul Burt called Throw the Dirt on Burt.
Yeah, a lot of people have thrown him under the bus this morning. Also, we got another. Well, we put it to the Gold FM family. Should we have a regular segment for Kiwis? Should Kiwis take over the radio for a couple of minutes a week? I say no.
I say yes, and Kiwi dogs are more than welcome down at Married at First Bite. That's happening this Sunday, Paws and Pizzazz. We spoke to a real-life celebrant that's married dogs. It actually does happen, people. We didn't make it up. Enjoy.
Here we go. It's AJ, Bridge and Spiders, Name That Year.
All pumped, are we?
Oh,
well, actually, pumped. I actually thought last night... Imagine if we did some homework on this, Bridge.
But you can't cram. We don't know.
Yeah, imagine if we did just reading a little bit of history every now and then, just claiming a couple of dates on some songs.
So we have so much time on our hands to do that.
I thought, stuff it.
How would we cram?
Well...
It's like a game show. How do they cram?
It's like studying for my Year 12 exams. I remember the first week we had a week of study.
Well, you can cram for that.
No, I just put it all in a big incinerator, lit it up and then went out for the week.
Of course you did.
Here we go.
Makes a lot of sense.
Three pieces of history. We're going to the movies first up. Name that year.
It's not your money. I never said you were going to get the money. This is blood money. I was killed for this money. Now endorse the check.
Well, Sam, what are you going to do with it?
Look over there. To your left.
I know you don't think I'm giving this $4 million to a bunch of nuns.
Oda Mae, if you don't do it, they'll track you down. Your only protection is to get rid of it.
Sister Act, is it?
Says Ghostbusters here.
No, that's Sister Act. That's Whoopi Goldberg.
That'd be good if you did your homework, maybe in...
That was a great movie.
I don't put them together. It says Ghostbusters here.
There's the question.
That is, isn't it, Rob? Because when she said, I'm not going to give that money to nuns, she was a bit of a bad egg and they had to hide her
That's
away.
Right,
she
yeah.
knew information about a murder, so they had to hide her away in a nunnery.
Whoopi Goldberg was never in Ghostbusters?
No.
Who are you going to call?
Whoopi Goldberg!
Okay, let's run with Sister Act.
She'll give you a bit of whoop ass.
Have you got the right dates then? If I say Bridge 1990.
I'm finding it as we speak.
I'm going to go Spider. I reckon it was in the 90s, definitely, but I'm going to go Fraction later. Oh. I'm going to go Spider 96. Mm. Big whoop. Big
well,
whoop.
Well, there was Sister Act 2.
What did you say, Bridge?
90.
No, not 90.
I said 96.
Whoop, you know Jemima, my dog is nearly called Whoopi. Nearly called her Whoopi.
Sister Act, Rod?
Oh, I think it was late 80s, 88.
It was 1992.
I never saw Sister Act 2. I don't like sequels.
No.
I'm a purist.
No, even Rambo wasn't a good sequel.
Oh, jeez. You saw the first one, did you?
Yeah, John Rambo. Anyway.
No, that's good. I'll give you that.
Here we go. We're going... Here's a song for you. Hopefully it's what it says it is.
Jimmy Barnes, Driving Wheels.
Oh, my God. You burnt your music catalogue too, along with all your school notes, huh?
The only thing I know about that is Eddie Murphy in the bus.
Really?
Didn't he sing that in a bus going in some movie?
So it was the band's first ever massive worldwide
hit.
It was the song that broke this band worldwide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bridge, 1982.
No.
Spider knows earlier. It was 1978.
Yes, it was.
Spider.
No, nice because work. I remember watching that movie and Eddie Murphy said he was 78. This is a release from 78 because he had his Walkman in. He was going to jail or something in a movie.
I don't know.
Can you remember?
That's fantastic.
And he was going, Roxanne!
Well done.
And he had the headphones in.
But that's brilliant.
Thank you.
Well done. Did you guess that?
No.
That was excellent. Yeah. Okay.
You'll all get this one. This is pretty significant and I think it'll be the first one in here. You ready? Name that year.
Victory, a magnificent performance.
There you go.
I don't
Kathy Freeman.
Oh, Spider 2000.
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah, well done, see. Oh, you've won the day.
Oh.
Teeth, yeah.
Yeah.
That was easy, that one. No, but however, there is, yeah, that's okay. Laura's just called from Mudjabar. That first movie, yeah, I get it, Laura. What was it?
It's Ghost.
Ghost.
Patrick Swayze.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, so that was my bad. My bad.
What year was it first?
Yeah, sorry. It was Ghost.
What year?
1990.
Yeah. It would have been different.
So I got 1990.
I got a public apology to make to Rookie because I don't watch movies. Oh. So he wrote Ghost on the thing. I thought he meant Ghostbusters, but it was Ghost.
It was Ghost.
That was on the wheel, wasn't
Thank
it?
Thank you, Laura.
Yes,
thanks,
pottery.
Laura.
Pottery wheel.
On the pottery wheel, yeah. Mm. Sorry, Rook. So 1990. So, but Spider still wins convincingly.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Very humble.
I did my homework last night. I told you.
Oh, God.
He hasn't touched the ground.
It's great to see the Titans' name. Ryan James is their captain for the coming up season. It's great to see, too, they haven't gone too much into a leadership group. They said Ryan James is the man to lead this team.
Concentration and force,
exactly,
we call it. I like
right.
that. I like it.
So, well done to the Titans and well done to Ryan James, too. He's expecting his second child, too, over the next coming days.
Aww.
So, fatherhood changes a lot of people, but he did a good job last year under a... you know, a tough season, so hopefully this season's going to be a lot better for the Gold Coast Titans. But the Commonwealth Games at the moment, it's looking magnificent. I don't know if you're driving around. You know, I'm lucky enough to go past Carrara each and every day, and, you know, they're just starting to dress it up, all the big signs are coming together, all the big marquees, the security's starting to go down, and it is exciting. It looks starting to look really, really good.
Yeah.
So the Gold Coast is really putting it all together, and, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like Usain Bolt's going to be coming out here for the Comm Games.
That's Peter Beattie wanted.
Yeah, well, he was always going to be the entertainment for pretty much the after hours from the events. Yeah, he was the shooter's king, he would have been.
I'm seeing him on Coles ads, I think, aren't I, with Sally Pearson?
Sally Pearson, yeah. So, yeah, hopefully he still might, you know what they're like, they fly in, fly out, but at this stage he's saying no.
Oh.
But a big one starting tomorrow is the Australian swimming titles. So here at Southport, before Rio, they held him a long way out. So by the time they hit Rio in the Olympic Games, a lot of the order had changed who was the Australia's best swimmers. So that's why there was a lot of upsets. We really struggled at Rio. We knew that the swimmers were under pressure.
Yeah.
They were told that they weren't good enough. So this happening at Southport over the next couple of days is going to define a lot of our great swimmers. You know, Kate and Bronte Campbell. But I think it's all going to be about the men. Cam McAvoy.
Come on, Cam.
Yeah, we want Cam to get up there. But Kyle Chalmers and Magnussen. So those three, it's going to be a big rivalry over the next couple of days. So watch that.
Peter.
Yes, Adrian.
What have you got? Oh, here we go.
Here
you
we
think
go.
You know sport.
Peter. He's
you
got something.
Think you know sport. I've got sport.
This is the first thing in 3 weeks he's
been. She's been in the paddock. She's been in the paddock. She's been eating grass.
Oh.
She's been resting up.
Oh,
you've got a runner.
She's back this week.
Who?
Winx.
Oh, Winx. I thought you would have a runner.
No.
Well, she's not back here. It's only because Hugh Bowman, the jockey's allowed a ride, been suspended.
That's right.
Now, does Winx have one of those special milkshakes?
Do the milkshake, the milkshake, do the shake.
She's going for her 27th win in a row in the Chipping Norton Stakes on Saturday.
Can you refresh my memory? What happened to the guy? He wasn't allowed to ride her or something?
Yeah, he was suspended. He got suspended, so that means he's not allowed to ride for 2 weeks.
Oh.
So that's why they delayed. But what about your horse? When's that running?
Soon.
Have you got a name for it? We gave you all our names.
No, I've submitted them, but haven't got one yet.
What's your fave? What's up there, number one?
I like the one you gave me.
Lakota.
I like Lakota. I don't know whether I'll get it, but we'll see what happens.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so cool.
Wasn't Pizzazz Animal Expo at Century Cove, Sunday, 4th of March.
Your underdogs, AJ, Bridge and Spider, are gunning for a world record. It'll be doggy heaven or the doghouse, and they need your help. It's AJ, Bridge and Spider's Married at First Bite. Woof.
Do you reckon we're going to get anywhere near this record?
Well...
I was really confident last week.
Yeah, at the moment. Well, we do want the Guinness Book of Records, which is 356 dogs, and that's taking it off the US. Colorado, we've got to beat them.
That's but couples, dog couples, it's 178, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but at the moment...
drum roll, we have...
53. But hang on. At the moment, as it stands today, we have the Century Cove record for the most dogs married in March at Century Cove in one spot on a Sunday at the same time.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
So we have got a record with 53 dogs.
Look, I've had a few people say to me as well that, you know, they can't because they've got to work. But then there's some people that are allowed to still take their dogs to work. Remember, it was huge years and years ago on the construction site. You could always bring your dog to work.
Yeah.
And dogs were always in the back minding their gear in the trays, in the back trays.
Yeah.
And we want to know, is there still anyone out there that can take their beautiful dog to work?
My daughter, my eldest daughter, Caitlin, where she works, they have a doggy day once, I think it's once a fortnight. But not everybody in the office is allowed to bring their dog. They nominate one person to bring their dog.
Mine would never be nominated.
So one dog is allowed to go to work every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah. I bet workplace health and safety have stepped in somewhere. But anyway, we'll find out. Yep. Listen, I'll tell you what we've got here. You can see Dieter Von Teese at the Star March 4. Dieter Von Teese live at the Star on the 4th of March. Tickets at Ticketek.com.au.
Can you still take your dog to work? Because we want you to come down and please take your dog to our ceremony.
Yeah. There's been an incident overnight, obviously, because of the weather conditions at Calagraba, and our very good friend, the gorgeous Bianca Stone from Sunrise, is on the phone right now. Hello, lovely.
Hello, I'm watching that water flow down the river at Calagraba, and it's still flowing pretty quick too, guys.
Yeah, it always does around that area, Bianca, and this segment is called Weather Wallies. You wouldn't be there on the scene if it wasn't for some idiot who thought it was okay to cross in those waters and put a lot of other people in danger, right?
Absolutely. Now, here's the story. This bloke, the 20-year-old guy, he's a local guy from Mount Nathan, knows this area really well. Everyone knows if you take a pee in your backyard, this Calagraba Creek floods. Yeah. So you know it's, you know, a problem area. There were people on...
That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
There were people on his side telling him not to cross it. It was flowing really quickly. It was a metre above the causeway, so it was going really fast. He's in a Subaru Forester. He goes in, stalls it halfway, and then he's stuck in this fast-moving water. Fires get called in. They had to risk their own lives, go in, secure the vehicle. It took them an hour to get him out because the water was flowing so quick it wasn't safe to get him out of there. I've had a look in the car this morning. There's a baby seat in the back, guys. Imagine if there was a baby in the car while this idiot decided to cross.
What? Who pays for all this?
Yes.
You
know,
if you've got a Wally, we've had millions and millions of dollars on the campaign with Tom Tate here, or even in southeast Queensland and Queensland. If it's flooded, forget it. We know the campaign. Who's responsible for paying for it all?
You and me and the rest of the taxpayers that pay for our good guys and girls in the emergency services fit the bill for all of this stuff. So, you know, we pay for it. These idiots go out there, they risk everyone's lives, they risk their own lives, and then, you know, we end up footing the bill for it because, you know, no one else has to be billed for it. So this guy, he's ruined his car, probably his parents' car, actually, by the looks of it.
Yeah.
It's totaled.
And he won't get any insurance on that. But not only that, I think of all of those poor people having to come out of their nice dry homes with their families, probably could have lost power in their areas too, to come out and help this wet water wally.
Ridiculous. Madness, isn't it?
I think she's gone.
I think she might have had to go and
see Bianca.
Report.
Thank you very much. She's gone for a wee to make it flood again.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bianca.
Thanks, Bianca, from Sunrise and 7 News.
And as I was saying, most of us, every now and then we all finish each other's sentences or we start talking like each other
it's
here.
It's embarrassing. It's like we're married in public, isn't it?
But it's when you hang around all your work colleagues for that long, you start picking up little bits and pieces.
100%, Peter.
Yeah, 110%. But a mate of mine, Phil, him and his wife, Pauline, come over with the kids for the weekend, and myself and Phil are very, very similar. No matter what we organise, we have the best intentions, but a lot of it often turns pear-shaped.
Oh, what happened?
And going home yesterday, they were flying, so they got here on Friday. They flew home yesterday. He woke up in the morning, and of course, we're in here at work. They got a 10 o'clock flight out of Brisbane, and suddenly he realises that he has my wallet and I have his wallet, and his wallet's in my car.
Of course it is.
So there's no way he can get from our house to work here and then back to the airport in time.
Does he look like you? He could pass on the ID?
Not really. Not really. But so the idea was, simple fact was, either the whole four of them stay behind and catch the next flight, or he stays by himself and the wife and the kids go on that flight. And because of the expense and everything, he said, look, I'll go get the wallet. And Pauline and the kids flew back to New Zealand. So they waited. They were supposed to wait at the airport until he landed back. So he flew into Auckland Airport with his wallet and everything, waiting for their beautiful wife and the kids to be there, and he gets a text message. We've gone home. So they've left him in the middle of the airport, Auckland, at midnight with nothing. There's no public transport to teach him a lesson for finally losing his wallet. So,
wow.
And how it was exactly what Sheree would do. I don't know if the Kiwis are all the same. So $186 Uber fare just to get home. So as much as you love your workmates, just make sure you've got your own wallet and you don't want to turn into them too much.
Oh, dear.
The flight would have been cheaper than the Uber.
Oh, yeah. Change of flight was on.
Wow.
How often, though, do you lose your wallet?
I have some big news.
I'm an overweight middle-aged man.
Welcome to Jumanji.
It's a great way to open the show.
And the media, look at all those people back there.
We have more wealth than most Australians. That is true.
Live from Gold 92.5's breakfast table, it's Bridges Feed.
Heather Locklear.
What's happened?
Well, she was on Dynasty. She's such a beautiful lady. She used to be married to Richie Zambora and Melrose Place. Oh, she's beautiful, beautiful lady. But not looking too good in a mugshot.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, she's been arrested for domestic violence and assaulting a police officer. I think she's had problems on the drink in the past. Police were called and her boyfriend, Chris, they arrived and they noticed a mark on his body and decided to take her into custody for domestic violence. And she also kicked and struck three police officers. Ooh. So what are you doing?
She was extremely hostile and uncooperative, Sergeant Eric Bushkow said.
It doesn't matter who you are, you cannot behave like that. And we know when we do stand up against domestic violence, we change the oath. So it's against, you know, no violence against women or men.
Yeah.
So, you know, naughty Heather, that's terrible news to hear that.
Yeah.
And to attack police officers that are just doing their job.
And a mugshot. Have you ever seen a good mugshot?
No, I must say, is it bad that I like the fact she doesn't look that good?
Yeah.
You know, because just when they're always looking gorgeous, sometimes you go, oh, that's what you really look like under all that makeup.
Never seen a good mugshot.
No. But anyway.
You ever seen a good driver's license?
No. We compared ours yesterday. Yours was pretty good, actually, darling. I must admit.
Yeah, it's 10 years ago.
I must admit. But, yeah, that's really bad, Heather. You don't assault anyone, man, male or female. Now, look, on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, now, you know him very well. I know him very well. Charles Woolley, right? He's the journo and he lives down in Tassie. He did an interview with Jacinta Ardern, who's the New Zealand Prime Minister.
Nellie used to produce his talkback show down there.
Yeah, she did. And he's copping a lot of backlash. Now, this is stupid. They're saying he was creepy. Now, the whole thing was a very empowering segment about Jacinta running a country and being a mother, and she's on the telly with her husband, so it wasn't just her, and it wasn't creepy at all, because Charles Woolley called her attractive, and everyone's like, you can't say that, I'd be stoked if anyone called me attractive. Anyone.
I had a couple of Kiwis stay over the weekend, and they said, we got a cracker of a Prime Minister.
See? But, you know, why can't Charles Woolley say that? Charles Woolley said, if you say someone's attractive, he said, I've looked up the thesaurus. It goes from good-looking to gorgeous to likeable. There's so many different meanings. And what's the problem? Now, everyone's saying he was too gushing in the interview.
Oh, please.
Which is ridiculous. Here's a little bit of the interview that most people are up in arms about, because he asked about when the child was conceived.
Why shouldn't a child be conceived during an election campaign?
Well, I mean...
I'm not asking why should.
No,
I shouldn't.
But I should add that the election was done. Yep.
There we go. I mean, look, it's a question that we have people behind the scenes that tell us to ask hard-hitting questions too. And
that's
he said,
dodgy.
If I didn't ask it, he said, my producers told me I had to go there, and if I didn't go there, it would have been boring.
No, I don't like that one. You only do your maths. It's common sense.
Yeah, well, he does. In the beginning of that, he does.
So
he does his maths, and then they they shared the information. They didn't have to. Mm. And it was just a nice, lighthearted, you know what, it makes them real. Mm. It makes these people real. Mm. So I reckon Charles, you did a good job. Oh, well, this started early this morning, didn't it? We're throwing shade left, right and centre at Paul Burt. I follow him on Instagram, and you do too, AJ. And
yeah.
We were saying how excited he was with the storm coming through. Have a listen to this.
Here he is right now. You ready?
You know who was the most excited on Instagram? Birdie, Paul Burt.
Yes.
Oh, mm. He was.
He was
the Oscars for him.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? Oh. He's going to hail, he said, everyone, get on the cover, everyone.
I traded him in last night.
While he's 6'4" in a basketball court telling us to get undercover. Idiot, get out of there. You traded him?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I know I love Birdie, but trade him. It's always a bit of contro between 7 and 9, isn't it? You just never know. Whatever leads into. Ooh.
Really?
Sorry, Paul, yes. Yeah, and then I went on and I mentioned that, I texted him the other day and he texted back, who's this? So he didn't even know who it was. But then we had Jason from Benowin. We're talking about, having a crack at Birdie. Well, the phone's lit up and this is what Jason in Benowin said.
Yeah.
He is an extremely ordinary cricketer, Paul.
What do you mean?
Oh, this was turned into a Birdie
bash.
Flirt off.
The guy has the biggest hands in the world.
He does. He banana bunches of bananas.
And a big body.
Yes.
We played probably for about 3 or 4 years on and off. He battled with this poor bloke called Darryl. And Darryl had big Coke bottle glasses and about the same limiting cricketing ability. And poor Paul hit him one day with the ball while he was batting with him. In the snows. Busted his nose, busted his glasses. And poor Darryl's never been the same again.
Hence, it's created a brand new segment on AJ Bridge and Spider.
And now it's time for everybody's favourite radio show, Throw the Dirt at Bert.
Good morning, Paul Bert.
Hey, Spider, you know when you drop a phone in the water and you lose everything and I don't back up? I'm so sorry. I've got you in bold, bright red. Adam Lambert was wearing a Queen the other night when I went to it.
Is this what set it off, Peter, was it? Because Birdie didn't know who you were.
But we said we do have a segment, Pick on Birdie. I'll tell you, the phone's lit up.
The dirt on Bert.
It did trade you in, and then I realised I was watching 7 anyway. I just traded you in for Liz Cantor.
Oh, that's not a bad upgrade.
You were copping some shade this morning, so you're a bad cricketer, hey? Yeah. You smashed someone's glasses across their face and their nose.
Yeah, I did. Poor old Darryl. Look, the thing is, we always drew straws he was going to bat with me at indoor cricket, and unfortunately Darryl drew the short straw that night, but I can tell you now, Jason Swain is a very prominent bricklayer on the Gold Coast.
I know, Swainy. Oh, my God. There we go.
I believe that he has... I've always asked a really good bricklayer, have they ever laid their millionth brick? I think Jason's got up to his tenth.
Hey, Birdie, while we've got you on, not throwing the dirt on you, but I love your reports on Instagram when you're so excited. Can you clarify, because everyone's, I think, kind of thinking I'm being a bit dramatic about the storm, but down my end around the Tugan area, it was nuts.
It was nasty. It was gnarly. Yeah, yeah. It was, the northern end of the Gold Coast, they didn't get much at all. You have some lightning shows at around 7:30 last night, and 8 o'clock. But, right on that, it was a proper shelf cloud. That was dark. There was a big wave rolling in front of it. You can check it out on Insta on PaulBird07.
I bet you can. All right.
And you can see that shelf. It was a prominent, and it was nasty, And you're right when you're talking about Tugan. That area there really looked nasty. And that's that sort of cloud that you can get those 100 k-an-hour plus winds out of it. And you do get the heavy hail out of that too. Not little ones. We're talking golf ball size. So, that was... It's a warning you've got to put out because people are heading home that time in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, 4:30.
Well, last few days with you on Insta, Paul07, I'm at the causeway, it's overflowing. It's going to hail, it's going to rain. This is your Oscars period, isn't it?
Hey, Birdie, what are we in for now, mate? What's coming up?
Mate, look, nothing really. We're going to see a better day today. That's southerly. See, all three things combined last night. We had a couple of fronts there. We had that southerly pushing through. We had a high and a bit of low cloud. It was all mixing together. So the storm yesterday was going to happen. But today, that southerly's pushed, so there's no chance of that. You know, the temperature will drop down a bit, and I can't see any storm activity for at least another probably 5 or 6 days. Chances of cyclones for the next few weeks, very minimal. I can't see anything building in the Coral Sea, so it's looking really good.
Beautiful birdie. We'll Paul get out there and have
and as we leave, we love this intro that Rod put together, so here we go.
And now it's time for everybody's favourite radio show. Throw the dirt at Bert.
Thanks, Bertie.
See you, Bertie.
Good on you, mate. See you later.
Bye.
Gold Coast's original radio cash contest.
AJ Bridge and Spiders, $1,000 Minute. Giant range, giant value, giant savings. Every day at Giant Chemist Harbourtown.
But Sean on the phone about to play the $1,000 minute for Giant Chemist, Giant Range, Giant Value, Giant Savings every day. A Giant Chemist at Harbourtown. How are you, Sean? At Kingscliff, beautiful part of the world.
Certainly is. I'm well. Thank you very much.
What's on the agenda today, being a Tuesday? Busy day today?
No, very quiet on Tuesdays. Try to keep it very quiet.
Oh, very nice. All right, well, $1,000 could lighten it up and maybe put a bit of spark into your Tuesday. Good luck.
Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Here I thought your phone went funny then.
So did I. 10 questions, Sean. Each one answered correctly. $10 to you. If you need to pass at any time in the allotted 60 seconds, do so. We'll try and come back to the question. If you get the lot right, you win $1,000. The Spider alluded to. Good luck if you're playing at home in the car. Good luck, Sean, at Kingscliff. Question one.
Which US state is named on the label of a Jack Daniels bottle?
Pass.
A phlebotomist extracts what from the human body?
Fat.
How many feet are there in a fathom? 6, 8, or 10?
8.
All proteins are made of what type of acids?
Pass.
Which suburb is further north, Gilston or Mudjuba?
Gilston.
Granadilla is another name for which fruit? Grapefruit or passion fruit?
Grapefruit.
A couple celebrating their crystal wedding anniversary have been married for how many years? 15 or 20?
20.
In the human body, what is the hallux, the toe or the funny bone?
Toe.
If I was at the restaurant Etsu, what suburb on the Gold Coast would I be in?
Pass.
Who's been named captain of the Gold Coast Titans for 2018?
Pass.
Which US state is named on the label of a Jack Daniels bottle?
Texas.
Tennessee, that's where it's made. You played well, you got a couple of right. Passed on a few, we didn't get time. Phlebotomist extracts what from the human body? It is blood. How many feet are in a fathom? It is 6, not 8. All proteins are made up of what acid? It is amino acids. Also, Granadilla?
Granadilla.
Granadilla is another name for which fruit? It is the passion fruit. If you're celebrating your crystal wedding anniversary, that is 15 years, not 20. And if you're in Etsu, the Japanese restaurant here on the Gold Coast, you'd be Mermaid Beach. And the new captain of the Gold Coast Titans is Ryan James. You got yourself $20, though.
Thanks, guys.
No worries. Thanks, Sean.
Good on you, Sean.
Got my young fella, Boston, who is going to be playing footy this year. And, look, he loves his footy. Mm. And last night it was cancelled due to the conditions of the footy ground. They're saying that the grounds were way too wet. So when he got home, I said, all right, well, we're going to do the beat test as a part of footy training.
Ooh.
I said, and he's not a fan of that anyway. But I said, okay, let's go for a run. Mm. And it was that hard trying to get him to go for a run. I'm like, well, you're supposed to be going training anyway. Let's just train outside of training.
Right.
And he couldn't understand why he had to. And, Sheree's going, no, don't, you don't have to train. I said, well, if you want to play one's footy, if you want to play in the one or the A group, you're going to have to train. It was different when we were growing up. when, you know, each and every day we would go home kicking the footy, playing around, mucking around, and you'd touch the footy 1,000 times, you know, in a week. The only time you touch the footy these days is when you're at training.
So who motivated you when you were a kid? Was it your mum or dad, or you just motivated yourself because you were always out there playing?
Well, we motivated ourselves because we had nothing else to do other than kick the footy. So that was our motivation, was just kicking the footy all day, every day.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, if you want to get good at this, and that's what he wants to do, I said, you have to put a bit more time and effort into it. Now, having a background in footy, I don't want to, like, I'll let him make his choices. But then you know that if he doesn't do that work, you're not going to get to where he wants to be. So as a parent, how much do you push him, knowing where they want to be, not where you want to be? I don't care. He doesn't have to run if he doesn't want to, but it's not going to give him his end result.
Well, he wants to play footy, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves playing footy, but then doing extras he's not a fan of.
And what about your expectations? You must have high expectations, surely.
I have no expectations.
No, would.
No, but if he wants to play senior footy or, you know, like, you know, the top level footy, you got to train. And to explain that to him is really difficult. And to kids, and I don't want to be one of those parents who push him, but... Yeah, you know, how far do you push your children? Like, you've got to be at some stage. You got to say, you know what? You've got to get up at 5. If you want to be a swimmer, you got to get up at 5 o'clock and train. And you've got to at some stage say, bad luck, you're going out there to train.
And AJ, I know what you're saying, but I reckon you're not living vicariously through Boston's dream because you've done it. You know what I mean? You made it. So, and it set you up for life. Like, you're always on time. You're very dedicated with work. So it set you up for life, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely, 100%. And sport can do that. But as a child or as a parent, how do you get your kids motivated? Do you say, bad luck, you're just doing it? Because we had a swim in the pool afterwards. He loved it. But the fact of just trying to get him to do it. And I know there's parents out there that push him, but... is that the right thing to do?
Right, a bit of a conundrum in the Everett household.
Well, I'm just trying to work out how far do you push your kids to motivate them to say, you know what, if you want to actually do something in sport, and not being a superstar, not making AFL, but just being something, how much do you motivate them knowing that they're not that keen even though they love the sport?
Matthew, what are your thoughts on this?
I believe he is. I believe that knowledge for kids isn't really known until some of the experiences or the end result takes place, and some of them don't actually really know what they're learning until the experience is over, you know? And someone like Spider, who's been there and done that, he knows what it takes to make it. He knows what it makes to take it and you know, if kids can't perceive this, then they do need a bit of pushing. You know?
Yeah, thanks.
Of course.
Thanks, Matthew. That's what I reckon. The hardest thing with this is the fact of just trying to get him to do it and learn that he can do it.
How do you go about motivating your young children in respect of sport?
Yeah, well, that's what they want to do, but, you know, they've got to learn from someone. It might as well be us.
Tell you what, too, I've got some ticks here to Dieter Von Teese at the Star on the 4th of March. Tickets at tickettech.com.au.
Yeah, just asking about how you motivate your children to, you know, pretty much get out there and train, you know, if they've got a desire to play any chosen sport and, you know, they might have a night off or, you know, they want to be a little bit better. How do you motivate them or get them into a routine to be able to do that? I'm struggling at the moment with my son. I'm not struggling with Boston, but, you know, he's not overly keen to do a little bit extra. So trying to, I suppose, push him to do that little bit extra so he can get to where he wants to be.
I think, too, he sees you as dad, but, you know... you've got to remember that you were also... oh, God, I can't believe I'm saying this. An AFL great.
Yeah, but I'm not... I'm
no, you
not
know what I mean.
Yeah.
As in, you've done it. You've done the hard yards.
Nick at Ashmore, what do you think?
Look, I support my kids in whatever they want to do. I feel that if you push them too hard, you'll push them away from what they truly love. So
you've
got to give them a little bit of space.
Yeah, what's the fine line between pushing and not pushing at all? I'm not pushing Boston, but... I know that if he wants to, you know, because he'll get annoyed with himself if he doesn't do what he's able to do on a Saturday. So you've got to train to be able to do what you want to do. So what's that fine line? Because do you say, you know what, you've got to do your 3 training sessions a week, and if you've only done 2, do you push him to do the 3rd?
Emma, what do you think about this situation?
I think, you know, it's not about pushing your kids. It's about guiding them to an end result. you know, kids, they need that guidance, and they need to, you know, you talk to your kids about, you know, what's the end result? If I put in this practice and the training, then what's the end result going to be? And you focus on the end result, and then that helps them to sort of come around and then, you know, push through those days when they don't want to go or whatever. So, yeah, it's a hard one.
It is a hard one, Emma. And well done, too. You're off to see Dieter Von Teese at Star March 4th. Tickets at tickettech.com.au. News is next, 28 past 7, LA to Tweed.
And you know the worst thing about the training session last night I did with him?
What?
I pulled up sore.
Your underdogs, AJ, Bridge and Spider, are gunning for a world record. It'll be doggy heaven or the doghouse, and they need your help. It's AJ, Bridge and Spider's Married at First Bite, Clawsified.
It's Cooper, and he's a chocolate Labrador.
And is he looking for love?
Always, always.
He's a stud, and what would he be looking for in his ultimate partner?
Oh, absolutely good-looking chocolate blonde as well. Gee, something to make him feel good and look good.
And if we were to put it out there looking for love, what would be his best characteristics? Long walks along the beach, love chasing the ball?
Oh, he's just got a really wet nose.
If your pooch is looking for its perfect match, register at goldfm.com.au and help us break the dog wedding world record. Gold 92.5.
Yeah, register at goldfm.com.au. I'm starting to get a bit concerned about marrying all these pooches.
Why?
No, we got 53
registrations. We can go. Hey, that was good. That guy said, you know, he's got a wet nose. That means he's a very healthy dog.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spry, hitting the important and not so important issues.
Yeah, this is about those people who take advantage of other people's profession, and it annoys me to no end. Oh. I was fortunate enough to be around somebody who has a profession over the weekend, and the amount of text messages they got because they're a paramedic, just about health and you know, their well-being.
Oh.
And my daughter's sick, or my son's sick, or I'm feeling a bit crook. So those people, you know, I do feel sorry for the vets and the doctors and the paramedics, and the list can go on.
Hang on, we're Ticker Tech.
Yeah, Ticker Tech.
All our
tech
friends
here.
Think we just have piles of tickets everywhere to give for anything.
And suddenly, you know, if you're a mechanic, somebody would just drop around to your house and say, well, actually, why are you here? Just my car's making a bit of a noise, or a plumber. Yeah, just come and visit and make sure you bring your toolbox.
Yeah, of course.
It's annoying. And and I saw it firsthand over the weekend. And she was going on about, well, you know what? I've got friends that work into a supermarket. I don't ring them at 11 o'clock at night and say, do you want to open up the supermarket so I can grab some baked beans?
Thank you.
They don't do that. They don't ring up the person who runs the coffee shop and say, oh, look, it's at 11 o'clock at night, but I'd love a double shot flat white.
No, not
at all. And those fish and chip shop owners, you don't rock into their house and go, oh, at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'd love a hamburger with a lot with a bit of pineapple.
You're here.
You don't do it. So for now, for those who do have a profession and for those whose friends have a profession, don't take advantage of them. Let them be if it's not working hours, because there's nothing more annoying than getting asked to do your job when it's actually not time to do your job. Are they your friends, or are they actually just colleagues when you need them for working relations?
Yeah, well said.
By Spider.
What's my name?
Donald Trump.
Sit down.
We have the piggyback.
Actually, I was only kidding, because you'd be in jail. You want to read it, or you want me to do it? You're a professional announcer. Why don't you read it?
Donald Trump.
There has never been anything like it.
Taylor's Trump Report.
Scotty Taylor, a US correspondent, and at the moment it's all about the children making the difference to the adults, not putting up any more with being scared at schools. This is a really full-on situation, Scott.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's even hitting at the Taylor home. At my kid's school, they had two scares on Friday about threats that were actually made by children. I think children not knowing what they were doing, but they made those threats. And you should have saw parents were really running over each other just to grab their kids. Yeah, right now America is scared. And it looks like kids, though, are taking the forefront. They're taking on politicians. We just had a town hall meeting here in the States where you actually saw Congressman Marco Rubio take on a child, a high schooler, really that high schooler telling the congressman, either you're with us or you're against us. It's pretty amazing.
Well, there's a photo going around of a teacher in a wheelchair saying, look, I won't be able to protect you like an able-bodied teacher. And so if you've got a chance to escape, I want you to do so. I mean, these conversations shouldn't be happening in school anyway, but how beautiful is this? One of the students said, Miss, we've already talked about it. If anything happens, we're going to carry you.
Oh, that is amazing, isn't it? You know, that's one thing about all these tragedies across the world, including here in America, that when it hits, that's where you actually see the aftermath of the love and the support that goes on, and that's exactly what's happening. You know, there is a lot of talk here in D.C. about arming teachers, and President Trump came out this morning and said that's what he wants to do. I'm not sure if all of America agrees with that or not. What do you guys think?
Well, there is a meme going around here that says, shark attacks at record high. Australia, let's put nets out to keep bathers safe. USA, everybody get a shark to protect you from other sharks. Mm.
There you go. I'm going to go get one of those land sharks. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Scotty.
Stay classy.
I've got another announcement, because at the moment we have 53 registered dogs for our dog wedding.
Don't, I'm embarrassed.
Hang on.
Paws and Pizzazz Animal Expo at Century Cove, Sunday, 4th of March.
Your underdogs, AJ, Bridge and Spider, are gunning for a world record. It'll be doggy heaven or the doghouse, and they need your help. It's AJ, Bridge and Spider's Married at First Bite. Woof.
Did you always go off early at the footy like that?
Yeah, we need your help. We're a bit underdone. We've got 50 at the moment. This is how we've got to. We've got the record for the most dogs married in March at Century Cove on Sunday in one spot at one time. That's the record. We've got 53 dogs.
It's okay. We
you wanted 400.
High. Well, 178 pairs we need to beat. From 2007, the record was made in the US, and we need to beat that, and we're trying everything we can. Go to goldfm.com.au to register. You don't have to have another dog. They meet down there. It's going to be lots of fun. AJ, we have anointed you as the dog-a-brent, and we know it's just in your nature to leave things to the last moment.
Uh-huh.
So we thought we'd get you some help, and we tracked down Rosalind McFarlane, who is the person who has... She's a dog celebrant. She's the first person in Australia to ever marry dogs, and Rosalind joins us now. So you've married dogs, Rosalind?
I've done one dog wedding ceremony, which was, I believe, the first one in Australia and certainly the first in Melbourne.
Can you tell us how the dogs first got together?
Oh, my God.
It's actually quite romantic. It was a property with two houses on it.
Yes.
And the boy dog lived at the back house and the girl dog lived in the front, and they used to go and visit each other and play together, and they fell in love and got married, and I believe they're still living happily ever after. But no puppies, I'm afraid, because she was a very young bride and he was an old boy.
Now, Rosalind, we're out to break a record, an American Guinness Book of Records. We're a long way off. On Sunday at Sanctuary Cove at the Paws and Pizzazz Animal Expo. I'm a celebrant, or in this case, a dog-a-brent, and I need some tips. I need some tips from you. How should I handle the vows? How should I handle the ceremony, please, Rosalyn?
I look at a dog wedding in much the same way as I look at a people wedding. You find out all the little details about the individual, but with 400 or 500, that's going to be difficult. But a little bit about personality traits, characteristics, lump it all together. And asking also, I think it's as much about the owners as it's about the dogs. It's the owners making a commitment to the animals. That's the important part.
When you say, like, the bride and groom may kiss, or do you say they may bark or...
Lick.
Well, they can lick his nose, nibble his ear or smell his bum, whatever. Whatever turns him on.
You have to change the... what we need to do is change the vows. We're calling them bows. You know,
the
like...
sounds great.
I promise to obey all of your commands, like sit, stay, roll over, shake hands, drop the ball. Is there a way that we can change the bows?
I think that's really great. You could sort of say, bark if you agree. You know, I'm going to ask some questions. Will you, promise to...
share the ball, don't fight the postman before me. Do you agree? Yes, Wolf. And if you pull on their collar, they'll bark anyway. Wolf bite, one or two. Yeah, I think that's really good. Something that I did, I had a certificate of matrimony.
Matrimony!
Of course.
Oh, no. And I also, I just called them a pupple rather than a couple.
A pupple!
Stop it.
Of course, it's perfect. Now, what did you have to put in there? This is the bit I'm worried about for AJ with that many dogs. If he says, if anyone objects, what if he gets a bark?
Yeah.
Just don't say it.
I'd bark right back. Bare my teeth and bark right back.
Oh, there we go. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. Oh, wow. That's great advice. The pupples.
You got all that, AJ?
Yes, I'll
write that down. You're locked and loaded.
I'm locked and loaded.
Oh.
Thank you, Roslyn. great advice.
Good luck with it. I don't know how you're going to manage it, but have the great, best fun and lots of luck.
Married at First Bite on Sunday, Sanctuary Cove. Go to goldfm.com.au to register.
Oh, this is hard for me to say. However...
What is it?
Well, I do have a bit of an announcement to make.
Right.
And some people know, but you guys don't know. So I thought I'd be honest and tell you live on the radio my decision. And that is that it is... time for me to move on with my life and...
What, are you going?
Retire from radio.
You retire. Are not. Look, are you 100% or are you taking the mickey?
Put it this way, I'm one of the few people that isn't pregnant in radio and I swear I'm not. Don't worry about that, rubber ducky. But because I've got too much on my plate, there's a lot of other projects happening at the moment and I just can't seem to do it all and something's got to give. So you know how I said at the beginning of the year I'm going to focus on my health?
Two H's, house
and health.
And
health, yeah. So this is what I'm doing at the moment and I don't know how I'm trying to squeeze in radio at the moment. So I figured out everything I'm trying to do to make myself healthy.
Yeah.
And so at the moment, I did an American Indian Sweat Lodge with my friend Bobby Running Fox,
yep.
And that led to a healing session with him. So I've got 3 weeks of intensive Bobby Running Fox therapy on myself I've got to do. I'm getting acupuncture weekly, a 21-day liquid crystal course, a B12 shot every month with Dr. Ellen, a twice-weekly fast, a 16-hour-a-day fast, a 21-day self-love meditation program, twice-weekly Eco Sonia facials, 28-day skinny detox program, and a nighttime tea every second day, a 21-day fierce and fit over 40 course, a 12-week body boss challenge. So I can't possibly do radio on top of all of these courses I've signed up for and something's got to give. So
yeah, no hope.
So it's been a blast.
Yeah.
It's been fun and I'm sure my wellness path will lead me to wealth beyond my imagination for all the people who will be making money out of me at this present moment in time. I'm not going anywhere, but there's seriously all the courses I've signed up for.
You won't have any money if you pay for all this.
I don't. That's the problem.
Not to mention your eBay habit too, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's a bit crazy, I know. I'm a bit worried. It's on our Goldfin Facebook page and Insta. There's a craze, Peter, that you discovered.
Yes. Yeah, there is. And that's people putting their wedding or engagement ring into an avocado, a hipster style, and passing it on to their loved ones, going down on a bent knee and saying, will you marry me with the ring in the middle of an avocado?
What's that all about?
Just some stupid, freaked out thing.
We did a stupid version of it and I had avocado all over my face and in the ring, but... AJ is the celebrant. What I'm concerned about is that it's videoed. Spider got down on bended knee, proposed to me, and I said yes. Now, I have quite a few friends who said to me, do you now understand that you're engaged to Spider?
Legally, where do we stand?
Well, it's number four. You know, like, I mean, why wouldn't he? He's addicted to wedding cake, so why wouldn't he go down on bended knee with you, Bridge?
I tell you what, don't, because Sheree will be pretty excited. She'll drop my gear off at your house.
The only two times I've been proposed to, Richard did years ago when I was under hypnosis, and now you. How's my track record going? Hey? I don't want you, mate.
So are we or not?
Are we?
No, you're not. No, you're not legally married. Of course not.
No, not married, but are we engaged?
No, you're not engaged.
I think we kind of are.
All right. Well, there's no legal requirement around engagement, so...
I've never had a ring on that finger, though, like, ever in my life. And he put it on that finger.
And we shared avocado.
All right. Well, you're engaged then.
Oh, my God.
You're engaged.
I can't be. I haven't got any more money.
28.
I got me own.
We've got a brand new segment here. Do I have to keep my finger near the panic,
yes,
button?
I think so.
Well, it'd be interesting to get your feedback, and we want feedback from the Gold FM family as well. We often throw up new little segments, what we want to be a part of. You know, at 5:30 now, we do Name That Year, which is a great little segment where we're going to try and press our memory banks and work out what year things were released.
We created one for Birdie this morning.
Yep.
Now it's time for everybody's favourite radio show. Throw the dirt at Bert.
Yeah, Bertie copped a bit of that from us today, yes?
He certainly did. So, you know, as I travel around in different areas and different places, I listen to the radio and always like listening to local radio because you get to find out what's happening in the town. And in New Zealand, they actually have, in their breakfast shows, they have a segment where they have an Indian segment. Because there's a lot of Indians that live around Auckland.
Okay.
And then when you get out to some of the communities, some of the smaller towns, they've actually got an Aussie segment every week on their radio show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So, should we, and we know that the Gold Coast is built up of a lot of Kiwis. Mm. There's probably about a quarter of the Gold Coast are Kiwis.
Mm.
Should we have a New Zealand segment on this radio show weekly?
Couple
of times a week.
Of course, Bruz.
I say we welcome with open arms to the whānau.
You're not.
Is that the right way to say it, whānau?
It's a great idea.
You're kidding, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, well, you think of the
Northern...
I was
taking the mickey.
No, right. I'm serious.
No, there's
I think it's
our
great.
Brothers and sisters from across the Dutch are everywhere. And you know what? I'm sort of... I put myself down as half Kiwi, being a Tasmanian.
That's a point. You kind of are. Yeah, that's a fair. And Anzac Day.
I'm very close to my Kiwi brothers and sisters.
Anzac Day's around the corner. They breed good horses and great wine.
Absolutely.
Great cheese.
Yes. I think the idea has merit. I'm just checking on the latest prices for wool off the Australian Stock Exchange.
Okay, check that out. There we go. But why not? Why not just have a weekly segment just for the Kiwis? Because... Well, we got Upper Kumaroa.
Yeah.
We've got all the suburbs down. No, the Northern end in particular. I have a lot of friends that are Kiwis.
Your wife would be very happy. Cherie would love you even more.
Yes.
She's the one who really wanted it. And I was taking the mickey going, there'll be nobody that would listen to a two or 3 minute bit. Just about New Zealand.
Sucked in.
Cuzzy.
You said it because you thought you'd get backup from us and we've gone the other way.
13:27:10. Do you think we need a weekly or a couple of times a week a segment just for the Kiwis?
Why not?
And the latest on the caramel crisis coming up in the news.
Yeah, you're going to do a segment too in the news then.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's a great idea. We've got over 50,000 Kiwis.
Oh, keep going.
Yeah, well, that's just in your household weekly.
Yeah.
That do live here. And I think the New Zealanders do an Aussie segment. And this might be what it's like. So I've just found a breaking news story live from New Zealand at the moment. This is true. A man has ridden his bodyboard down Haka Falls with Water Safety New Zealand, describing his stunt as reckless and irresponsible. Timmy from Mount Maunganui filmed himself undertaking the dangerous jump into the falls from the overbridge.
Yeah, I tell you what, Haka Falls is unbelievable. Mm. That's a good effort. But... Amy in Palm Beach, what do you reckon? Do we need a Kiwi segment once a week here on the radio?
No way.
Yes.
Why not, Amy?
Well, we couldn't go over to New Zealand and listen to Australia. They come over here for a reason, not to listen to their radio station. They go on the internet and do it.
They do have an Australian segment in New Zealand. That's where the idea come from.
Tina at Labrador, what do you think? Segment or no segment?
I reckon a segment because my husband's Kiwi, and if I'm having a bad day, he will do something in Kiwi that cracks me up and makes me laugh.
Aww.
It's hilarious.
There we go. See?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, Bob in Helensvale, what do you reckon? Do we need a Kiwi segment on the radio?
No, I think it's a waste of time. They can go home. It's only a hop, skip and a jump back to their place.
Well, maybe do we need an American segment
too?
We do. Have you got an American accent?
I didn't ask for an American segment. Don't want one. I live here. I love it. This is all about deep proud Australians that go home.
All right, thank you.
Gregor Gilston.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you all?
Good, mate. Should we have a Kiwi segment?
Mate, there's a lot of things we need, but that's not one of them. It's like Kiwi with a short leg, not even, bro. No way. We don't need it.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's your gorgeous wife.
Well, the local mayor of New Zealand here on the Gold Coast. Cherie, why do you reckon you need a segment here?
Oh, my God, are you serious? You know how great the news is coming out of New Zealand. And you know what? I think it's a little bit racist that people say no, because here on the Gold Coast, it is a melting pot of culture.
That's right.
There are people from all over the world here, and I think we need to embrace it. You guys need to learn to love us Kiwis. We're a pretty epic bunch of people, and Spider, you know firsthand, you love the Kiwis.
See, exactly right.
Slow down.
See, Spider thought would be on his side, and we think it's quite a good idea, Sheree.
It is, and I think, and you can learn a lot from New Zealand. We have a lot of different laws down there. We, tackle, like, school bullying and things like that.
Yeah.
It's dealt with very differently, and I think the Aussies could learn a fair bit.
All right, who's going to run this segment?
Me.
I like it.
Come on.
Right. We need some more women on this show. Let's do it.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.